Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. I hope you're all ready to get spooky tonight, as I have a good one for you. Sit back and relax, toast up those buns, and let's get spooky. I'll never forget the day I rolled down my parents' dusty gravel driveway, beat-up truck packed to the gills, and heading towards my new home, my new life. My parents stood on the porch and watched me go. The cows in the pasture also watched lazily as I passed. I would dearly miss my green pastures, the beautiful pond, and the animals. But I will also never forget what I encountered in my first new home, or rather, what lay outside of my first new home. I had purchased a home, or rather a camp, that my recently deceased great-uncle had owned for many years, though it had not been inhabited for just under a decade, besides the occasional afternoon trip there to clean the place up. My great-aunt was desperate to keep it in the family and could not tell me enough good things about it. How it had a beautiful lake a few miles off, plenty of interesting wildlife, and was incredibly peaceful, perfect for a young guy starting out, she said. Really, it was perfect because it cost me next to nothing, as it was a piece of my great-uncle that she was not ready to lose forever. She sent me an old picture of the outside, so old in fact that my youngest uncle was pictured playing in the dirt in front of the screen door with some old truck toys. Through the yellowed, crinkly picture, I could make out a small, very square building with a W carved above the door. The Pine Box, my uncles called it. It was a 2-hour trip from the farm, and I recall in the last hour or so, I hardly saw any cars on the highway. Though it didn't bother me as much at the time, as I was traveling on the far northern section of the state. Driving away from my overbearing parents and the flat farm lands, into the beautiful pine forests and soaring mountains. I'll never forget the feeling of freedom and self-reliance in that moment. As the sun began to set, I finally turned off the highway, carefully navigating the gravel and then dirt road that wound through the seemingly unending dim forest, squinting at my grandma's little scribbles and ancient yellowed map that she had given me before leaving. I couldn't see the setting sun through the thick canopy of trees, but as every minute passed, my anxiety grew as the forest darkened around my truck, swallowing me up. My headlights, which were dim anyways, illuminated only the dirt road a couple of feet in front of me, and nothing else. My border collie, Lexi, whined in her crate in the back seat. Even she, the dog that always ran headfirst towards charging cows and kicking horses, felt uneasy. I didn't like that. Just as I was about to give up hope and pull over for the evening, as I was quite exhausted, I made one last push. 15 more minutes of driving, I promised myself. If I didn't find it by then, I would sleep in the truck. You couldn't imagine how relieved I felt when my headlights swept across the dusty glass windows of the place, my new home. Thinking back on it, what an eerie sight, that little pine-green shack crowded by trees. The W, our last initial, etched above the doorway told me I was at the right home. I made the quick but clumsy work of unlocking the front door, turning on the little LED lantern that I had brought, and throwing my two duffel bags through the door, the rich scent of pine and dirt filling my lungs. My great-aunt, though she personally hadn't stayed in the home in many years, informed me that the place was bare and in need of some homey touches. No shit. The only furniture to speak of was an old stuffed floral print couch that I imagined must have been from at least the 80s, covered in a thick layer of gray dust, just below the massive picture window that looked out into the inky darkness. I found that the two small bedrooms each had bed frames with no mattresses. All rooms were bare of curtains, and there was no bathroom. She had failed to inform me of that detail. Though it would do for the night, tomorrow I could head to the nearest hardware store and start making this place a home. I dusted off the small sofa the best that I could before I settled down for the night. I was exhausted, the kind of tired that seeps into your muscles and bones, begging for you to rest. The last thing that I remember is watching Lexi curl up by my feet at the edge of the sofa before I drifted off peacefully. I was awoken by an awful, nasty growl and felt weight on my torso and chest as I jerked awake, gasping wildly. In the dim light of the lamp in the far corner, I saw Lexi, standing on top of me, ears flat to her skull, snarling viciously at the massive window. And for a moment, my sleepy eyes caught what they thought was the slightly shifting of shadows outside. Though I'm sure it was simply my mind playing tricks. I was quick to hush the dog, cradling her against my chest as she eventually began to settle down after about 10 minutes or so. That was when I noticed how she was shaking badly, eyes still fixed on the window, never moving away. She stayed like that as the darkness tuned slowly into gray, early morning light. Even then, she still seemed frightened, refusing to leave my side as I moved more items inside from the truck, her hair still standing slightly on end. I figured she smelled some wildlife that she wasn't used to, or she had been frightened by her own reflection. There was nothing to be afraid of so far out there. How could there be? I helped myself to a nutritious breakfast of protein bars and a Gatorade that I had brought with me for the journey. My first mission of the day was to find the lake, that according to the map was a 5-mile hike to my north. Now, when I say that this forest was odd, you must understand that I have lived rurally my entire life and have been deep woods camping and trekking for years. I have never encountered a forest, especially one so remote, with such lack of life. Yes, the foliage grew in excess. Multiple species of healthy trees, ferns, a few wild blueberry bushes. As I walked to the lake, I noticed the lack of birdsong. Not a single bird was in my range of hearing. I noticed not a single track of any sort of animal as I found the sandy beach of a small but perfectly placid lake. The shore should have been covered by the footprints of raccoons, deer, mice, foxes. Nothing was drinking out of the lake, or at least not this shore of it. This puzzled me to no end, though I continued on with my day, planning to ask any locals I met about the lack of wildlife. Perhaps there was an excessive hunting in this area at one point. After driving up the highway for about a half an hour, and finding quite literally nothing, I returned south, finding a small gas convenience store. It was old, crummy, and run down, but I was still happy to see it. The owner, a thin, very gray man who sat behind the low counter, was quick to smile at me behind his beard. I exchanged a smile and quickly greeted, scoping through the store and filling my arms with most non-perishable junk food that would tide me over at camp. As I stacked them up on the counter, he implored me what I was doing in the area, and me being young, dumb, and prideful, puffed out my chest and informed him I was a new homeowner. He quickly congratulated me on my house, saying I must be coming from the Thorn Village, the closest residential area. I shook my head and corrected the man, telling him the name of the lake that the house, well, shack, was on. His smile quickly fell from his lips and he squinted up at me with his bloodshot blue eyes.
"You serious, son?"
I informed him that I was absolutely serious, to which he shook his head quickly, almost frantically.
"There's strange things that go on in those woods, son. I don't know what exactly, but you best get your things and go beat the living hell out of whoever sold it to you. My friend's son went missing in that area. Only 20 years old, went on a hiking trip. The sheriff found his truck with one of the windows broken through. Lots of blood. Never found Daniel."
At this point, he began to shake, tears welling up in his old eyes. I fought the urge to roll my eyes and said nothing, pushing my goods further towards him as he slowly and shakily checked me out. He seemed so genuine, he couldn't just be trying to scare me, could he? By the time I had gotten back to the shack, I had calmed myself down considerably. Daniel could have fallen and broken his leg somewhere and was never found. Perhaps he stumbled upon hypothermia, maybe drowned in one of the numerous lakes in the area. Or he was just a story and didn't exist at all. I did everything I could to rationalize what had happened to the young man, and assured myself that it couldn't possibly happen to me, forgetting the violent details of the disappearance that didn't suit me. I was a strong, resourceful person. I would be fine. No boogeyman lived in any forest that I have ever been to before. Though now, looking back years later, I have come to the conclusion of how wrong I was. I didn't look at the shack as I pulled up, my eyes on the shifter as pushed open the truck door opened and slid out. Once I did look up, I was frozen stiff, my mouth agape and eyes wide. The front door of the shack, which I had trouble opening and closing due to rusty hinges, was ripped off of the top hinge and thrown open against the exterior of the house, a puddle of dark liquid that seeped into the wood of the front porch. I began to shake uncontrollably. Primal parts of my mind told me to run back to the truck and leave immediately. I took a stutter step backwards, and then remembered that Lexi had been inside the shack when I went searching for gas and food. My beloved dog, my best friend of 5 years. No way in hell I was leaving this place without her. I took a deep breath, removing the all-too-small pocket knife from my jeans, and charged headfirst inside the shack. Two of the cupboard doors were ripped clean off and laying on the other side of the room, the old cast-iron cookware laying in a pile on the rug, which was stained with what seemed to be mud, little bits of grass, and something else. The couch cushions were absolutely torn to shreds, the old-fashioned stuffing thrown about. I checked the back bedrooms and found nothing. No one was here. Neither was Lexi. In a panic, I began to try and wrap my mind around what had happened. Some crazy strong looter had made his way into the shack, destroying my things and either let out or took the dog. But why? I couldn't imagine. I was pissed. I sprinted out the front, my boots slipping on the wet wood, and I fell to my knees on the dirt. I laid there panting and shaking like a leaf, fighting to get my breath back. My next move was to force myself to my feet. My jeans ripped around the knees and I was bleeding a bit. Going around to the back of my truck to the toolbox and removing the axe that I had purchased from Lowe's just a few days before. I had never felt the sensation of seeing red before this, and I never have again. I had every intention to defend myself from whoever the hell had ransacked my home and taken my dog. I spent the next hour or so running frantically through the woods, stopping to pant and collect some breath before running again, jumping at each cracked leaf and twig, occasionally yelling for Lexi. Over time, taunting, in hysterics, I'll admit, whoever had caused the damage of my home. The only evidence I found once I calmed a bit was a disturbance in the dirt, though it was packed too hard to make out what kind of prints laid there. It almost looked as if something massive was dragging its feet. I returned to the shack and I am not ashamed to say that I began to cry as I sat in my truck bed, axe in hand. If you have ever felt truly stranded, terrified without any hope, you know how I felt at that moment and the hours that followed. As the night drew in, and my surroundings grew blacker, my shaking only got worse, to the point I could call them convulsions. I felt filled with fear as I searched the darkness with wide eyes. Now begins the worst moments of my life. It started with a bang that jolted me to my feet, axe held in a death grip between my two hands. Something heavy and solid had bounced off the body of the truck, though I could not see exactly what it was in the dim. The next projectile landed in the truck bed, a few feet from me, a near miss. A rock about the size of a phone book, too heavy for me to even throw if my life depended on it. Just as I was steadying myself from the impact of the last rock came the most god-awful demonic yell I have ever heard in my life. It shook me to the core, my axe dropping with a clatter to the truck bed. I am ashamed to say my bladder let go from that sheer fear. Whatever it was in the tree line about 20 feet to my left. A horrible, rotting scent wafted through the air, like I was standing directly over an old corpse. In the last ditch of effort to save my own life from whatever monster or unnatural creature it was, I began to scream back curses at it as loud as I could, damning it, telling it to screw off or I would kill it. Then there was silence for a moment, before I could see a massive shape moving towards me in the darkness, accompanied by the snap of pine limbs that I knew for a fact were at least 7 feet off the ground. For perspective, I am just under a 6-foot-tall man standing on top of a truck bed, and it still looked huge. The scent alone was enough to knock someone over. I let out a shriek and began to desperately kick at the back windows of my truck in effort to escape. After 3 kicks with a steel-toed boot, the glass gave in, and I dove through, wiggling in through the back seat and climbing blindly into the front, not feeling any of the glass that had wedged itself into my skin. With amazing speed that you would only ever have when you fear your life is at risk, I found the keys that I had left in the ignition and threw the truck into drive. After a moment of spinning out of the dirt, the truck surged forward and I began out of the dirt driveway, flying over bumps and potholes like a madman. I was free, for a moment. I only saw him, or it, for a second as it stepped out in front of the speeding truck. Long, brown, shaggy hair that reminded me today of a Spanish moss, at least 7 feet tall, and the most horrific yellow eyes that I had ever seen. Eyes that will plague my memory for as long as I live. The truck hit in full force directly into its torso. I could only assume that it bounced backwards after the impact, as my face was smashed off the airbag. The trunk hood crumpled up like tissue paper, the windshield cracking. I lost consciousness for I'm not sure how long, as I woke to paramedics wheeling me on a gurney. I was found by a sheriff who had been asked to give me a welfare check, I could only assume by the store owner. I had hit a large bull moose during the night, they told me. By the intense damage to the truck and the brown hair and blood amongst the wreckage. Could have only been a moose, they said. I wasn't the bravest man in the situation. Not at all, I am ashamed of it. Even years later. I never returned to the cabin, which I have since let go into foreclosure and fall into the bank's hands. Even though I returned to the general area and inquired at vet offices and animal control, inquiring about my border collie. I just hope that she escaped it. Though from the evidence on the front porch, I have my doubts. Just reciting this story makes me feel queasy. I'm glad I didn't have to stay there any longer, as I now have a wonderful wife and 2 boys who would never have existed if I had. I tried my best to accurately recount what had happened to me without sharing locations, as I never want anyone to find this location and disturb whatever lies there like I did years ago.